We know words are powerful. We know that we seek to follow one who is the Word of God living and in flesh. We know words can name realities. Parents say, "You are Sophie," or "You are Noah, and behold, it is so." Words matter. And who speaks them? There are 200,000 words in the English language currently in use. 40,000 words have been retired. We need lots of words. How many words for snow did the Alaskans have? We need lots of words because our reality is so vast and so diverse through time and space. We're bombarded with words. It's nice, isn't it? Sometimes just to come and be in a place where the words aren't constantly flashing at you and demanding attention, where we seek a word for renewal or direction or peace. There was a popular song a few decades ago, you might recall, a popular saying a few decades ago. We used to go to our friends, and after we greeted them, we'd say, "So what's the word?" I know I date myself. Everybody in their sixth decade goes, "Yeah, I remember that. So what's the word?" "Say the word and you'll be free," the Beatles said. "Say the word and be like me. It's so fine. It's sunshine. It's the word love." Words have power. Hymnals filled with words. Words of those who have gone before us and lived through tragedies and wars and hardships and celebrations and victories and blessings. It's hard, I know, to read up here and also read the footnote about the hymn down here, but friends, that is a first world problem. I like that the hymnal tells us about the circumstances of the words we sing. One of my favorite hymns is "The Church's One Foundation." It says, "Amid toil and tribulation and tumult of war, the church awaits consummation and peace forevermore." Nice churchy words, right? It was written the year that the Civil War ended, and families were torn and grieving. The nation was poor and in recovery and divided. And someone dared to say, "Even though there is toil, tribulation, and war, we long for peace. To be one again." The painting in the front of the hymn, the bulletin this morning takes a biblical word and puts it before us in the round so we can see and feel a bit Deborah's circumstance. One of the things, one of the reasons we need so many words and to sing so many words and to read that biblical word with all of its stories is because things never stay the same in the world. They're always changing. Ecclesiastes is right on. The only thing that's really constant in his life is change. To everything there's a season. To everything there's a time and a purpose. It doesn't always stay one season. A friend in my last church said, "What I like about living here with four seasons is that just when you get sick of spring, it's summer. And just when you get sick of summer, it's fall. And just when you get..." Times change. It doesn't always stay constant. We know that's true, and it's encouraging. It reminds us that God is active and alive, and one circumstance does not dominate or prevail, but newness breaks through like resurrection. Sometimes things break, then it's a time to build them up. Sometimes darkness comes. Thank God for the sunrise. Sometimes there are tears and hatreds and anger. Thank God then when it's time for laughter and dancing and joy. Deborah's faith in God is that God can deliver her people through a time of hardship and battle, and God can bring a blessing that leads to peace. She's a wise judge for her people. She can solve problems for them in peaceful times, but she also depends on God's activity and direction in times of war and hardship when enemies close in. Deborah's a bit of a Renaissance woman, even before the Renaissance, isn't she? She's a triple threat of talent. She has a career as a judge. She's a military strategist. She's a bit of a good luck charm. Don't you love the commander of the army who said, "I'll go into battle, but only if you'll come too." Finally, she's a bit of a lyricist and a musician as she sings, "To the Lord I sing, mountains and quake before our King. The Lord is our God in good days and bad. We once prospered, we once suffered. We have often grown sad. We beat enemies, we battled kings, angels and floods helped us the victory to bring. Shouts over cries of widows, Sisera fell when Jael laid him low. We sing to the Lord, hail the great heavenly King." Deborah can name what's going on in the life of Israel, and that power to name gives God the victory and leads to peace. You and I, friends, are a people of resurrection. What that means is that though there is sin, it shall not conquer or define us. Though there is darkness, the light is coming. Though there are times of hostility and war, so too will there be peace and rebirth. In his day, Jesus was faced by opponents who sought to stop his mission and silence his word. But by the Spirit, he lives still. His work continues. Death could not hold him. He was raised victorious. And you who follow in his way continue to carry on his work. His peace, his justice, his freedom, his truth, his mercy. Sin and death don't get the last word. The final stanza of Deborah's song is, "And there was peace in the land." Ella Fitzgerald is called America's First Lady of Song. She's the Queen of Jazz. If you have any of her albums in your basement or garage and want to pass those on, I'll be happy to take them. Ella Fitzgerald famously said, "It's not where you're from, but it's where you're going that counts." Ella Fitzgerald said, "The only thing better than singing is more singing." So sing on, church. Sing with Deborah. And those who have gone before us and those who sound out around the world today saying, "The victory is the Lord's. Sin and death shall be defeated. God will bring peace and life and joy and justice to the land." Amen.